Welcome to the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs. You'll hear insights and ideas from the world's top entrepreneurs and thought leaders,
designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle.
Now here's your host, Steve Cypress.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to Success Story Saturday, July 22nd, 2017. Steve Cypress here, taking time out of my day where I have been watching the British Open golf tournament, one of the four major tournaments of the year. And whoever runs the tournament, the governing board of the tournament, insists that it's not the British Open, it's the Open, as if there aren't hundreds of golf tournaments named the such and such Open every year, but this one is the Open. So, smart attempt of branding and messaging, I appreciate it, but totally misguided, especially to people anywhere outside of Great Britain. So they ask even golfers in Great Britain, they're like, I don't even call it the Open unless I'm in Britain. If I'm in Great Britain, I call it the Open. When I'm in the U.S., I call it the British Open. There's a U.S. Open, so I wouldn't walk around America calling some British golf tournament the Open. But anyway, if you're watching this thing at all, the announcers, by contract, allowing them to broadcast the thing on TV, they have to call it the Open, which is so hilarious to me because I grew up, and until recent years, it's, of course, it is the British Open or whatever. Anyway, I digress. That's not the topic for Success Stories Saturday, but based on that, I'm going to talk about one of the greatest golfers of all time, certainly one of the greatest on-the-course golfers of all time, but by far the greatest off-the-course golfer of all time, the one and only Arnold Palmer, otherwise known as the King. And as always, I start off by sharing my Rhino of the week, the day, and here is today's. It is this, in honor of Arnold Palmer, I don't have a golf related rhino, I realize, so this is next best to that. I have a keychain. I have a bunch of rhino keychains. This one has what I suppose is a mother and a baby rhino. It has two rhinos on it. And and on the back it tells you all about the southern white rhinoceros. So very cool, educational and practical at the same time. And so what do you use a keychain for? Keys. And what is one place the keychain is normally dangling from? It's from the steering column in a car where you are doing what? Driving. See how circuitously long I went to have anything to do with golf. Driving. Driving the golf ball, driving the car, keychain, right, whatever. So Arnold Palmer, you can look him up, you can read books on him, but this guy, now there are plenty of, and this is germane to all business owners, because there are plenty of plumbers who are great at plumbing. Screening of attorneys who are great at being attorneys, and doctors who are great at curing people, and all that kind of stuff. And there are lots of golfers. There are not as many. He's certainly one of the top golfers of all time, but there are some that are better at playing golf than Arnold Palmer. Certainly there are hundreds of all time who are within minuscule, you know, one-shot average of playing as well as Arnold Golf. That's pretty much every pro that ever played on the pro tour. But there's nobody any close to him successful as an entrepreneur off the field. So, yes, of course, he leveraged his notoriety, Arnie's Army, they called it, with the fans just flocking to him and following him around the course and not paying attention to any other golfers out there. I mean, if you pay attention to U.S. presidential politics, it's a similar kind of story to the guy that currently ran and won the presidency of the USA. Arnold Palmer was, you know, just a regular guy, down to earth, and connected with the masses really well. So he took golf from being an elitist game only played by the elites to a game introduced in the 1950s thanks to television introducing golf to the world, and he introducing golf as something that didn't have to be played only by elites. It could be played by the masses. He was born to humble roots. His father, in fact, was the teaching pro, the head groundskeeper. Like, he was in charge of keeping his local golf course in his hometown. His father didn't travel far to take care of the golf course in his town. And Arnold followed him around as a kid, as many kids do. I followed my dad, who was in sales. He took me on sales calls, and his home office was at home where he was running businesses. And so I saw that growing up. So Arnold went around the course with his dad and saw him, and you know, taking care of the course and started playing golf. He played really well. He went to golf, got a golf scholarship and went to college. Then he went and enlisted in the Navy or the Coast Guard or one of the armed services. And he, while he was in training there, he actually built a golf course on the base so that he could keep playing golf. And then after his 3 years were up or whatever, he goes back to college, got his degree, and then he started playing golf. In those days, there were amateurs and there were pros. Hence the name Open. Not a lot of tournaments. That was open to everybody. And he won a tournament very early in his playing days and turned pro, and the rest is history. He was off and running, and he won like 50 or 60 tournaments or something as one of the greatest of all time. However, after he retired is where he made the bulk of his fortune, which was nearly a $1 billion fortune he amassed by estimates, whatever. I haven't read up on it, but that went to his wife and his daughters upon his death. Recently, I think he died less than a year ago or about a year ago, and that was not amassed from, you know, purses from winning golf tournaments or finishing in the money, as they say, or whatever, and getting a few thousand bucks here or there. After his golfing days, he said, boy, he was a business person, let's see what I'm going to do. And one thing was, I know he was contacted to be some kind of a spokesperson to help bring golf into China. And this was, Richard Nixon had first opened up the doors of trade with China in the 70s. And so now here was Arnold Palmer being called on. And so he helped get golf into China. And he said, what the heck, I'm going to start a golf course design business. And that business today is still going. And it's designed hundreds of golf courses on every continent in the world, except for Antarctica or whatever. They're all over the world. They're in like 20 countries and 300-something golf courses and whatever. That generates a heck of a lot of income. He also licensed his name, which I'll talk about, and the most famous of the licensing of his names. He also had lines of Arnold Palmer clothing. He had Arnold Palmer Golf Institute. He was making money off his leveraging his celebrity and his popularity, but you know, regardless of the fact that he got that big leg up and started because he was a pro athlete on TV, something every business owner can do. Tell me you haven't ever gone into even a local bar and they don't have hats and t-shirts. I mean, well, not all of them, but I mean, tell me you haven't ever seen hats or t-shirts for a local restaurant or a local bar. Like, there's ways to make more money past just the cooking of the burgers. You can also bottle up your famous burger sauce and sell that all around the world with mail order and shipping it around the world and selling it in e-commerce and on your website and stuff. So if you open your mind like Arnold Palmer did, I mean, most golfers, 99% finish their golf playing days, and yeah, they, of course, they got a few endorsements for wearing shoes and shirts and clothes and what clubs they use and what golf ball they use, but they don't say, oh, let's start multi-million dollar businesses here. Let's have a whole clothing line. There's a few of them, but they're rare, and nobody did it as much as Arnold Palmer. So my hat's off, not even wearing a hat today, for Success Story Saturday for Arnold Palmer. Oh, the most famous of his branding escapades, which he didn't even do a good job. I mean, he's a case study on how not to protect your brand, is he was famous for concocting a drink. He said his wife used to always make him iced tea. And once he said, you know, hey, why don't we put in a little lemonade into there? And he loved it. And so everywhere he went, he would go to the bar after playing or practicing or wherever he went and said, you know, hey, bartender, can you make me a, you know, or the waitress, can you get an iced tea with lemonade and this? And he's like, oh, man, I got tired of having to explain it all the time and whatever. And so it ended up that, I guess the story as he tells it, is somebody overheard him ordering this, and she just said, I want that too. And the bartender said, okay, we'll just call it the Arnold Palmer drink. And he's, you know, again, to most people, if somebody's ever said something like that to you, you go, aha, that's funny. Arnold Palmer, being a successful entrepreneur and entrepreneurial-minded, said, aha, now how can I make money from that? How can I license that? And he licensed it. The story goes they drew it out on a napkin in a restaurant and gave it to some guy who licensed it to the Arizona Iced Tea Company. To this day, they're selling over $100 million a year of that stuff. And What is it? It's iced tea and lemonades. Some people have been making forever. And so it's been knocked off, or I don't know which came first even. Nobody said he invented the drink. Like, but Lipton has, they call half and half, and other things. You know, lots of people. And you could go around into bars and restaurants and say, can I have an Arnold Palmer? And they could bring you a Lipton half and half or whatever other. It's like, you know, a dozen of these different companies selling their lemonade and iced tea mix. And so is that an infringement of his brand, the Arnold Palmer? Probably is. But you know what? He never did what any licensing trademark attorney would tell you. You've got to one of the things you got to do to prove that it's your brand and nobody else can use it, you've got to defend it. So anytime somebody says, hey, I'll have an Arnold Palmer, and somebody has brought a Lipton half and half, lawyers have to go in and sue and say, you can't do that. You got to, well, he never did that. Because he's also known to be one of the nicest guys in the world. But in business, it's not about being the nice guy. But he never defended it. So to this day, there's a question whether he ever really could enforce that trademark. It's been called an Arnold Palmer for decades, and he's never defended it. So is it really a trademark? Blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line is he licensed that. And if they're selling $100 million a year, you'd think he'd making a lot of money off of that. So making money off of what he drinks, what he wears, sport he plays, what he likes to do. He likes to design golf courses. He likes to play on golf courses. Oh, and what do you know? He went back to his hometown and he bought the golf course that he grew up walking around following his dad, mowing the lawn and cutting the grass and raking the sand traps on. So quintessential American success story. Arnold Palmer, we celebrate him on a day where we're watching the British Open on TV. Just watching for a little bit more before I head out, because we got tickets to go watch the Arizona Diamondbacks baseball game. So it's a big sports fantabuloso day here in the Cypress household. But I had to come at you for Success Story Saturday. As always, if you have a suggestion, or the suggestion might be you, dear viewer or listener, because you might be a business owner, which makes you a success in some way. Let me interview you and talk about you on here, or talk with you on here, and let's get you promoted and whatever. Otherwise, I will continue to bring you another success story of a deceased entrepreneur every Saturday, and I will be back next Saturday with another one. And I'll be back tomorrow just checking in, as always, on what I call Sunday Funday, day off, day of relaxing, planning, just thinking about things, not necessarily business-oriented. Probably share something that I saw or learned or did or something today's baseball game that we're going to. Who knows? But I'll be back here tomorrow with that. And I hope to see you there. And
thank you for joining us today on the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs hosted by Steve Cypress. Join us tomorrow for another exciting episode designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle. Also, go to rhinodaily.com for more great business exploding tips, strategies, and tactics from the world's top experts. Plus, snag your free copy of Money Making Monthly Magazine.
Goodbye.